It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show, an in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. We are joined by Jefferson City Public Schools Activities Director Aaron Earlywine. First of all, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin.
Board of Education had some good news as far as sports is concerned at Capital City High School and Jefferson City High School. Let's talk about that. Tell me what happened.
I think that's probably the most important decision and impactful project that's happened to JC and Cap City. I mean, I can't think of anything more monumental. So basically, both campuses are going to have their athletic facilities completely on campus and completely finished. Currently, Capital City has all of their facilities on campus. They're just not completed. And then Jeff City, you know, everybody knows everything's been off campus, or not everything, but several sports have been off campus since 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to finally finish all those on campus.
You know, some of the sports that are off campus right now, I believe tennis, softball, soccer, and baseball, right?
That's exactly right. So as it lays out right now, where all those houses were destroyed by the tornado, we bought that property across the street from the football field. And so soccer will be right down there next to Stadium Boulevard, and the baseball field will be just above that. And then on the other side of the street, over by the driving range where that big bare field has been for so many years, we're going to put the tennis courts. So it lays out really nice. The land's there and very convenient.
You know, for those sports I just mentioned, when everything is done, it truly will be a home game, won't it?
Yeah. Man, you know, for so many years, like our softball team was driving across the Missouri River Bridge out there to 63 Diamonds just to practice. You know, I have a 15-year-old daughter, and I can't imagine having her drive out there across the bridge every day in 5 o'clock traffic to practice across the Missouri River Bridge. I mean, it was doable, and we made it work, but it was just a tough situation. And then our soccer team for Jeff City has been out there at 179. I mean, that's probably, I don't know, 7 to 10 miles from our campus. And then our tennis team played tennis at Washington Park. And, you know, Washington Park, when I went to school, it was okay, but nowadays it's a rough area, and it was kind of scary for our girls. Really, and our guys, too, to be over there. So, huge improvements. Our softball team was at Riverside most recently, and so now they're moved on campus. So, just a lot of positive changes going on.
As far as baseball is concerned, of course, a former Jefferson City Jay baseball player was Aaron Earlywine, so I know you're really excited about that.
Yeah, you know, Vivian has turned into a pretty nice complex, and mm-hmm. It always was a nice place to play, and we're so grateful to that place, and it's nearby, but There's just going to be something different and obviously much more convenient about being able to walk from your classroom over to the baseball field to practice and to play. And we can't wait. We think it's going to create a great atmosphere, and it's going to help us keep our kids and even maybe entice some kids to come back over to JC and to Cap City.
Aaron, I would imagine, too, that this is not a situation where this all developed over a month or a two-month period. This has been a lot of planning as far as this process is concerned.
Yeah, so there's been conversation about this ever since I took the job 2 years ago, and it just finally came to fruition. Our CFO, Jason Hoffman, and our superintendent, Larry Linthicum, have just done an amazing job of cutting corners in certain projects, saving money wherever they could. And so over the last couple of years, we've been able to stockpile enough to complete the project. And like I said, I can't think of anything more significant and impactful that's happened to either of those schools in a long, long time.
Couple of questions. How about project price tag? First of all, how will it be funded? And the other question we would have with regards to all that is, how soon will construction begin, and when do you expect it all to be completed?
Yeah, so the price tag is going to be $10 million per school.
Okay.
And that will complete all the facilities. We are hoping to start construction this May, and the fields themselves will be ready for competition next school year by the start of the fall, which is a very aggressive timeline, obviously, but that is what our architects are telling us. Final completion, you know, because there are some buildings that need to be built on each of the campuses, some storage and concessions, some seating and some different types of buildings that need to be put up. Those things won't be completed for JC until December of 2021. And then for Capital City, final completion of all the buildings is going to happen in March of 22. As far as where the money came from, I don't know the exact details on it, but I just know that our CFO and Larry were saving different monies from different projects. I know that they did a good job of being good stewards of our money when we were constructing Capital City and renovating JC. I think there were some monies potentially there. I think some of it is going to be borrowed. My understanding is that $1.5 million of it is going to be borrowed per year. And then I'm not sure exactly where the rest of the funds came from, but our CFO, just like I said, he did an amazing job of finding ways on other projects to save money so that we could make this happen.
Bottom line for you, you're very excited about this, aren't you?
Yeah. You know, and I know our kids are ecstatic, too. My son goes to JC and my daughter goes to Capital City. And, you know, their responses were just a complete happiness and excitement and wanting to know all the details. And so I'm sure that's representative of all kids that compete at both those high schools. It's just a really, really big deal.
Some other issues I want to touch base with you on before we let you go. First of all, I wanted to congratulate you, Helias, and Blair Oaks. I thought all three schools did a real nice job hosting the state football championships earlier this month.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, we have a great facility there at Atkins Stadium, and we were glad to be able to share that. Our athletic department did a tremendous job, and I'm not giving kudos to myself, more so Chad Reisner, J.R. Simmons, Jordan Chapman, Amber Miller, those people, and many, many more, obviously. But our activities department did a great job of hosting those events, and I'm really thankful that we were able to do it.
You're the activities director of the Jefferson City Public Schools. Pandemic, really, been a lot of issues in dealing with the pandemic as far as scheduling and everything.
Yeah, it's been a huge headache, same as it's been for everybody in our country. But I'm just really proud of the fact that we compete. We've lost some games, obviously, but, you know, nothing that has shut down a complete season. All of our kids are getting to compete, and really proud of that fact. And just knock on wood, I hope we can continue to do so.
And I think a lot of them, when you talk to athletic directors and activities directors across the state, a lot of them are taking the attitude, and I think a lot of people are taking the attitude of you have to take it one day at a time, don't you?
Yeah, literally every day you come into the office, there's emails saying that this game has been canceled or we can't come because of COVID. And then you just start the process of seeing if you can find another team to play. And it literally happens every single day. And then, you know, your athletes, two more tested positive today, and these three have to be quarantined. And so now you're deciding who to bring up from your JV. And it's just a trickle-down effect every time something like that happens. And I'm proud of everybody, how hard they've worked to allow our kids to be able to continue to compete.
You know, there've been schedule changes. There are likely to be more schedule changes before the winter sports season is done. But, you know, you take a look at it, and I know Coach Phillips talked about this last night on our pregame show. You know, you have a situation where a team can't play, so then you have a hole in your schedule. And sometimes it's going to be a situation where your team may have to play two or three games in a 4 or 5 day period, which isn't ideal, but you don't want to lose those games either.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The flexibility is huge. Sometimes your ability to not play for a week or two and then to play four games in 3 days or something crazy, it's just kind of all over the map. And it is really amazing to have seen our coaches and our ADs navigate through the scheduling process. You know, so many times I'm thinking, man, are we even going to be able to do this? And then, boom, we find a team to play. And the next thing you know, 5 hours later, they're at our gym playing. So it's been a cool process. watch. I wish we didn't have to deal with it, but we've done a good job so far of handling what's been thrown our way.
What can you tell me as far as an update as far as the search for a new football coach at Jeff City?
We're really close. We have our applicant pool narrowed down to four guys, and we have we've interviewed them twice, and now we're just kind of going through the conversation part about, you know, who the right guy is and trying to vet that guy out. And but we should have a coach named within the next couple of weeks, I would think.
And you're going to tell me the four applicants, right?
I wish I could, Kevin.
I thought I'd try.
Yeah, you had to.
And, you know, it's a situation, too, where, you know, you've taken your time to go through this process, haven't you?
Yeah, I've known for quite some time that Scott Bailey wasn't coming back. And so over the last couple of months, I've been busying myself on a regular basis with reaching out to people and trying to create as big of an applicant pool as possible, and then whittling that down to your final guy. So I'd say over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've spent multiple hours each day dealing with this situation and trying to get the absolute best football coach that we can into JC and somebody that's going to stay with us long term.
One other quick issue, the Grade 8 and the Jefferson Bank Holiday Hoops Invitational right around the corner, Fleming Fieldhouse.
Yeah, so we typically have done some of the games at Helias, some of the games at JC. Actually, our girls have played at Helias and our boys have played at JC. And now, since the pool of teams got cut in half, you know, we had all these great out-of-state teams ready to come in and play, and that got canceled because of COVID. So now we're whittled down to Helias, Blair Oaks, Jeff City, Hickman, and Tolton. And because of cutting the field down, we've been able to play, we've been able to schedule all the games at Jeff City High School.
Mm-hmm.
Those will happen on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, December 28th, 29th, and 30th. You know, those are great local matchups. You know, as cool as it is to bring those teams from out of state in, I think these games will be more heavily attended and there'll be more passion, from the spectators just because it's a more rivalry event for local teams. So it's going to be good. We're looking forward to it.
Again, December the 28th, 29th, and 30th, they will start at noon each day. The final game will be at 7:30. Aaron, always appreciate your time. Have a great holiday.
You bet. Thank you. You too, Kevin.
Jefferson City Public Schools Activities Director Aaron Earlywine. Back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
This year has been anything but usual. We've all had our fair share of surprises. But when the world stayed apart, the community came together, empowered to move forward. We encourage you to reflect on all your blessings and each and every moment that makes Christmas the most joyous time of year. We hope your holiday season is full of cherished memories, ones that will last a lifetime. From everyone at MidAmerica Bank, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a prosperous new year.
MidAmerica Bank.
Online at midambk.com. Member FDIC.
At home with Robert, retired burglar and family man.
Carolers, that's the holiday spirit. Speaking of which, Simply Safe Home Security is having a huge holiday sale. Right now you can get 35% off the new system and a free camera at simplysafe.com/holiday. That's 35% off the system U.S. News named the best of 2020. Simply Safe protects your whole home 24/7 with monitoring by professionals. The sale ends soon, so go to simplysafe.com/holiday for 35% off and a free camera today.
Do you think all vitamin C's are the same? They're not. Ester C is a superior form of vitamin C. It's the only vitamin C with 24-hour immune support, and it lasts up to 2 times longer than regular vitamin C. So don't just settle for any vitamin C. Buy Ester C and support your immune health today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Family dinner has taken on a whole new meaning. We're spending more time in the kitchen and more time around the table. We're trying new things that come from places we've never been, places we'd like to go. Pork makes it possible with thousands of delicious dishes from across the world. Let pork be your passport to a destination that satisfies every craving. 100% real pork, brought to you by America's Pig Farmers. Discover new flavors at pork.org/real pork.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
He's a new softball coach at Helias High School. We say good morning to Kelly Fick. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
I know you're excited about this new opportunity.
Yeah, sure. First opportunity at being a head coach, and it's been I've enjoyed working with the softball program the last 2 years at Helias, but definitely looking forward to leading a program for the first time.
Back to the place that you went to high school at Helias. I think you graduated in 2007. I'm going to throw out a couple of numbers. I know you were an all-state selection as a pitcher for Helias, pitched over 210 innings, had an ERA of 1.72, and hit .388 as a Crusader, I believe.
It just enjoyed playing at Helias and had a great experience, playing for Coach Wyrick and then having a chance to coach with him now. When the opportunity came up to come back to Helias, I thought it would be a good move, for myself and for our family. And, I've enjoyed being back there and definitely looking forward to a new opportunity at Helias.
You didn't know I was going to pull those numbers out, did you?
No, that's been a few years ago yet. So, it's definitely great to have this opportunity.
And you went to the University of Missouri, had a good career there as well, didn't you?
Yeah, that was a great experience. You definitely learn a lot just being around, some of the other guys and their ability levels. After a couple years, I realized that Mizzou was probably going to be my last stop as a baseball player and definitely, started preparing myself a little bit to be a coach and started picking the brain of some of my coaches there at Mizzou. And, you just learn a lot by watching. And I think that definitely helped get me a start into coaching.
That's one of the things, the reason I brought up the information with regards to when you played at Helias and as a Missouri Tiger. When did you start thinking about, maybe I'd like to be a coach, maybe someday a head coach when you played at Helias? Did that enter your mind? You mentioned that it did at Mizzou.
Yeah, at Helias, didn't really think on it too much. But then when it was, when you got it at Mizzou and, it was time to start, figuring out majors and everything like that, I definitely wanted to be able to stay around the game and stuff. And teaching was a way to do that. As a baseball player growing up, your goal is always to try to, get to the big leagues and stuff. But that was pretty evident rather quickly that wasn't going to happen. So then coaching definitely would keep me around the game, and I love learning the game. And so definitely at Mizzou, that gave me, an opportunity and some insight, and great resources from my coaches, from teammates, from watching other teams that we would play. And, I feel like I learned a lot that would definitely help me, in the coaching world. But then as far as head coach, it was probably around year 5 or 6. I was fortunate enough to get started at Rockbridge as an assistant, and Coach Tao up there and Coach Bazet helped me get my foot in the door with coaching, and I enjoyed my time there. But about year 5 or 6, thought it would definitely be neat to be able to lead a program at some point and kind of put your own stamp on it.
Came back to Helias, and you've been involved, I think, baseball, football, and softball, haven't you?
Yeah, correct. Just kind of wherever help was needed. Football was definitely new for me. That was a big learning curve because I had never played before. But, Coach Hinch has put me in a role that he thought I could be successful at helping kids and helping them develop. And I enjoyed my time with that. But when the opportunity came up to switch over to softball, I had done that, helped out with that for 2 years at Rockbridge. And, I thought it would be a good switch to make, to help out with softball. And then, of course, in baseball, we had a couple good years there, and then, of course, last year we got canceled. So that was tough to deal with for the guys. But, you know, I know they'll be ready to go this spring as well.
As far as Elias Lady Crusader softball is concerned, you'll follow some pretty good coaches in Dan Campbell and Chris Weirich, won't you?
Yeah, those are going to be some tough shoes to fill, no question. Coach Campbell, you know, he's had some great success, you know, with a couple state championships and has helped develop some great players. And then Coach Weirich and his, as an assistant with softball, but then his two year run here. You know, we were fortunate enough to, we had a great group of seniors in 19. You know, they finally got over the hump and won a state title. And then last year, you know, we had a great group as well. We just came up short in the district title game. But we have a good, really good group coming back. Last year was some great experience for them. But definitely looking forward to that challenge.
Yeah, very good softball program at Elias. You take a look, you step back for just a second, you take a look at Mid-Missouri. There's some great softball programs, aren't there?
Yeah, no question. It's with Rockbridge and Blair Oaks, and, you know, in there in Capital City had another had a great year. Coach Skinner was doing a good job there. But it was pretty cool. I know I was talking with a friend the other day just about how Central Missouri, how well fall sports did, you know, in football, softball, and everything, and it's pretty neat to see.
What do you like most about coaching?
I think it's the interaction with the players, and helping them develop and grow as players and people, and really that moment when they kind of see the light bulb come on, when they've kind of got an idea of what you're trying to teach them. And just watching them prepare and then have success on the field, it doesn't get too much better than that.
What's the first thing on your list as the new head softball coach?
Well, one of the biggest challenges that we're going to have, I think, we definitely need to grow interest in the program. I think last year we had 21 or 22 girls out for JV and varsity. I'd like to increase that number. That's going to be one of our biggest challenges, just to, you know, get some kids interested in softball, get them out to the park and see what Hawaii softball is all about, and hopefully increase participation.
Real quick question. We've got less than a minute before we have to take the break. What do you see as the biggest difference between being an assistant coach and a head coach?
I would think as a head coach, you know, there's a lot of off the field stuff you have to worry about to prepare for a season, you know, and then you know, on game day, you know, quite a few more responsibilities as well. You know, as an assistant, it was, you know, you kind of just to get to enjoy working with the kids, help them develop, but you know, it'll be a big learning curve, but. You know, there's a lot of great coaches, you know, that I'm friends with or that are in the building there at Elias, you know, that I'm always willing to learn from and pick up from their advice. It'll be a challenge, but I'm definitely looking forward to it and feel like I'm ready for it.
Coach, congratulations on the head coach job, and thank you for being on the show this morning.
All right, thanks, Kevin, and thanks for all you guys do for covering high school sports. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach. Kelly Fick, the new softball coach at Elias, back with more after the break.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. Let's go over the schedule as far as the Grade 8 Tournament and the Jefferson Bank Holiday Hoops Invitational is concerned. Again, they'll be at the Fleming Fieldhouse on December the 28th, 29th, and 30th. First of all, the Jefferson Bank Holiday Hoops Invitational schedule. On Monday, December the 28th at noon, it'll be the Elias Lady Crusaders taking on the Blair Oaks Lady Falcons. And then at 5:30, the Jefferson City Lady Jays meet Columbia Hickman. On Tuesday, December the 29th at noon, Elias takes on Columbia Hickman. At 5:30, Jefferson City will meet Blair Oaks. And then on Wednesday, December the 30th at noon, it'll be Blair Oaks taking on Columbia Hickman. At 5:30, the Jefferson City Lady Jays meet the Elias Lady Crusaders. That is your Jefferson Bank Holiday Hoops Invitational schedule, December the 28th, 29th, and 30th. over at the Fleming Fieldhouse. Also at the Fleming Fieldhouse on December the 28th, 29th, and 30th, it's the Joe Mockins Grade 8 Classic starting on Monday the 28th at 2:30 when Helias meets Blair Oaks. At 7:30, Jefferson City will take on Father Tolton. Tuesday the 29th, the 2:30 game will be Helias taking on Father Tolton. Jefferson City meets Blair Oaks at 7:30. And then on Wednesday, December the 30th, 2:30 ball game, Blair Oaks takes on Father Tolton, followed by Jefferson City and Helias at 7:30. So it's a schedule where they go back and forth, as you could tell, with regards to both of the tournaments go back and forth as far as the scheduling is concerned. Again, first ball game will be a girls game at noon each day. That'll be a boys basketball game at 2:30, girls basketball game at 5:30, and then it'll be the 7:30 game at the end of the day each day, again, on the 28th, 29th, and 30th, and that will be over at the Fleming Fieldhouse. Joined now by Jefferson City Jays head basketball coach Tony Phillips. We talked about the schedule. This ought to be a heck of a tournament, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, especially after seeing what Blair Oaks did to Rockbridge last night. I think that tournament just got a whole lot tougher.
Before we talk about the tournament and the individual teams in it, and we talk about last night's basketball game, you talked about this with us last night on the pregame interview, talking about scheduling, and you mentioned the fact that, you know, when you have a situation where someone's on the schedule and they come off the schedule and you have to find a replacement, sometimes that means having to play multiple games in a short period of time, but you don't want to walk away from that opportunity not knowing what will happen the next month, the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's just can't say no to the game early, you know, because, you know, regardless of the impact it has on your basketball team, these kids want to play games. You know, last spring sports were wiped out, you know, so say no now, and if something would take away the season, you're just cheating the kids of opportunities.
And you mentioned this as well on the pregame show last night, the fact that didn't have a lot of starters back from last year's basketball team and didn't have that opportunity to have them all kind of get together and mesh as a squad heading into the season during the summer because of the pandemic.
You're absolutely right. And you know, I think in last night's game against Ozark that you could see some of those things early and saw glimpses of what we think we can be, you know, in that second, third, and fourth quarter. But it is what it is. We'll make excuses, and then we're just going to continue to work and get better.
You know, you come into the tournament with a mark of 1-5, but you take a look at the five losses, and Monroe City is playing well. Battle is having a good season so far. Fort Zumwalt South, I don't think, has lost a game. And Greenwood, I think at last check, was 6-0. And Ozark now, with the win last night, is 4-1 on the season. So you played a very difficult schedule early in the season.
Yeah, you know, it has been very difficult. And we're hoping that prepares us for a run in late February and early March.
So when you take a look at it from the standpoint of your basketball team, they're not discouraged at the start, are they?
No, you know, the locker room is still together. I think you saw the energy on the bench last night. There's no quitting these kids. You know, at one point, we're down by 20-some points. And, you know, they just got to learn not to dig themselves a hole, but they're coming together and they're growing. And our best is yet to come.
Ozark won the ball game last night by a score of 75-64. Had a 14-point lead after one, extended it out to 22, but you guys wouldn't go away. Kept chipping away, didn't you?
Yeah, and you know, I was really encouraged by, you know, during timeouts and at halftime, the talk on the bench. And that just showed me that we're growing up, we're progressing, and, you know, there was no quit. And there's some things we've got to fix and work on, and we will, and put everything together in three quarters of basketball. And
you know, last night in that basketball game, I thought early in the contest, Ozark was speeding you up a little bit more than you wanted as far as that was concerned, as far as the pace.
Yeah, you know, and we reverted back to, you know, there were some one-hand passes, and you know, jump stop, we weren't going to the basketball, and, you know, all the things that you got to do to be successful in middle school basketball. You know, we weren't doing it at the varsity level, and And then they got in that hole, and then they started doing the things, you know, a little bit more kind of going sound.
Now, Ozark, I think, had over 40 rebounds in the basketball game. And you know, going into that game, it was a good rebounding basketball team, even though they didn't have a lot of height.
No, we, you know, I told you on the pregame, number one is going to crash the glass hall. And we didn't do a very good job on him. And that's just the toughness. You know, at the JV level, you don't have to box out as hard, you know. And, you know, at times we try to win a jumping contest, and we're not going to win a whole lot of jumping contests. So we got a week before the tournament, so we're going to work on some rebounding.
You know, in the first quarter, Sterling Deshay picked up a quick second foul. You had to take him out of the ball game. You were down by 14 after one. You started him in the second quarter. It was a decision you had to make, I would assume, based upon what the score was, and didn't want it to get out of hand. So you made that decision to start the second quarter. He rewarded that decision with a good second quarter, had 9 points.
Yeah, that's the first thing I told him. You know, when he was going out in the second quarter, I said, you cannot pick up your third foul here. I said, you got a jump stop, you know, you got to play out 2 feet, you know, the small basketball team needs you. But he did, he played really well, and I was proud of him for that.
I thought Kevion Pendleton played extremely well for you last night.
Yeah, Kevion just brings a toughness to us, you know, and he, if we can get him to take care of the basketball a little bit more, he's as good a strengthener as there is in the area. He's just so strong and physical, and he's a gamer, you know, and we love his toughness. And, you know, again, first time at the varsity level, so he's going to have to learn.
You know, you mentioned this a little bit earlier in the interview, the fact that you got the energy coming off the bench last night. I know a lot of rotation, and when people came off the bench out onto the floor, they gave the team the energy out on the floor, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, Michael wasn't feeling good, so we needed, and usually Michael brings some of the most of the energy for us, you know. And so we had some guys that come in early, and I thought they did a really good job.
You know, and sometimes in a basketball game, when you get down by 22 points in the first half, players kind of look at it from the standpoint, well, it's not going to get done, it's not going to be our night, and that didn't happen last night. I know you have to be encouraged by that, too.
I am, and that's part of the culture that we're building, you know. You know, get down by 20, if you go to 40, kick it out of hand. You know, even in the Greenwood game, when we got down, they didn't quit. You know, and that's culture and character. And, you know, Jeff said, you know, our mission is building champions in the classroom, in the community, and on the court. And I feel very strongly in the fact that two of the three, we're getting done. And our goal is to build a championship team on the court. So we've got to have the culture and the character before we do that.
As we mentioned, the Grade 8 tournament starts on December the 28th, the 28th, 29th, and 30th. You'll be involved with that, obviously, with Helias, Blair Oaks, and Father Tolton. I'll get a little bit of a scouting report from your perspective on the three teams that you'll face in that three-day period. First of all, on the opening night, you'll take on Father Tolton. There's some height there, especially when you talk about Javon Porter.
Yeah, I think he's had two or three games of 40 points or whatever. You know, the good thing is with, I don't know if it's a good thing, but with Father Tolton, Javon will be running the point, so we can see that size coming at us. Yeah, he won't play a lot with his back to the basket, but, you know, Javon can shoot it. We'll have our hands full.
Yeah, he's not the only player on that ball club either, is he?
No. No, he's not. You know, and Jeremy does a great job coaching them guys. And so we'll have to roll up the sleeves and be ready.
They won last night. I think they beat St. Francis Borges, so they're now 3-0 on the season. They have victories over Monroe City and Fatima as well. So this is a basketball team. I mean, you take a look at it year after year after year, and you mentioned Jeremy Osborne doing a very good job of coaching that basketball team over there, and they're tough every single year, aren't they?
They are, you know. They're going to come at you with different sets. They're going to play you man. They've got some unbelievable talent. Again, it's going to come down to us getting closer, playing full course of basketball with Father Tolton.
on the 29th, you will meet the Blair Oaks Falcons. You mentioned it earlier. Last night over in Columbia, the Blair Oaks Falcons beat Columbia Rockbridge 78-53, and Luke Northweather with 40 points in the basketball game. The Falcons are a very good team as well.
Yeah, they are. And again, very well coached. Brian does a great job. We're going to have our hands full with Luke. Quinn can really shoot it, so they can hurt you from inside, outside, you know, and the one thing, you know, about Blair Oaks is they're going to play hard. They got a lot of pride, and they love to win. So night two is going to be very difficult for us as well. You know, we have one thing we can't match up with size, and so we're just going to have to find different ways to get it done. And, you know, obviously Luke's going to draw a ton of attention, but if you focus only on him, Quinn will kill you from the outside. So a big challenge for us.
Yeah, Quinn Cushion, a very good shooting guard. Jake Closser as well, very good player for Blair Oaks. And this is a basketball team that was a Final Four participant last year. And as you mentioned, Ryan Fick doing a very good job of coaching at Blair Oaks.
Yeah, and he just got his football guys, you know, and he's trying to get them, you know, he's trying to get Bryson and Closser and those guys in basketball shape. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I believe Blair Oaks and Moreau City were supposed to play for third place, you know, before COVID took away that opportunity. So, obviously, Blair Oaks we have a ton of respect for their school, their program, and their basketball team.
Third game in 3 days, you'll take on the Helias Crusaders. That's always a big ball game, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, it's been a long, long time since the city's beat Helias in boys basketball. I don't even know how long. But, you know, Desmond and Malcolm, that's what makes those guys go. And they got guys around them that say, hey, we want to win. What do we need to do to win? And, again, another quality. Joe does a great job.
Yeah, we take a look at their basketball game against South Iron. They won 62-60, and Desmond White didn't score in the first quarter, ended up with 21 points in the ball game. He and Malcolm Davis complement one another very well in that backcourt for the Crusaders, don't they?
Yeah, they really do, and they play, you know, play well off of each other. And, you know, what I've seen out of Elias, and I've seen it last year, too, and the year before that is there are other kids, they star in their roles. You know, they usually have one or two scorers, you know, shooters, and Joe does a terrific job of getting the other kids to buy into their roles. So, third game in 3 days, and it is for them too. We'll have our hands full.
And Damon Johan's good in the lane for them at 6'4".
He works really, really hard, and that's what sticks out on tape.
Yeah, you talked about it just a second ago. Three games in 3 days. How do you approach that from the standpoint? Now, in a tournament, you don't know who your next opponent will be. You play, like as an example, on Monday, and you don't know till late Monday who you're playing Tuesday. This is all set out for you. Do you approach it as far as practice and getting set for these games differently because you know all three opponents versus a normal tournament situation?
Well, you know, I think maybe with a more experienced, mature ball club, you could do that. You know, I think for us, we got to focus on one day at a time, one practice at a time. So right now we're going to take 2 or 3 days and focus on fundamentals. And then, you know, Thursday or Friday next week, we'll talk a little bit about Tolton. But I think if we were a little bit more, experienced, they could handle a little bit more. But I just think right now we got to look in the mirror and focus on what we see.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Look forward to seeing you next week.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Jefferson City Jays head basketball coach Tony Phillips. Back with more after the break. We'll check in with Helias Crusaders head basketball coach Joe Rothweiler after this timeout.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan
to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Newsmax TV. Everyone's talking about it. 30 million people are watching Newsmax for real news on President Trump, Biden, the election, and more. And make sure you vote in Newsmax's national poll asking if President Trump should concede. Just text VIRUS to 39747 and vote instantly. That's VIRUS to 39747. Watch Newsmax for great shows on major cable systems and free on Roku, YouTube, smart TVs, and more. Vote about Trump. Text VIRUS to 39747 today.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333, or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
The reasons why to hire a marketing firm for your business are obvious, especially when you are already wearing too many hats. But less obvious is the answer to a related question. How do you know when to hire a marketing firm? Download the free Fuse 32 ebook titled How to Know If You're Ready to Hire a Marketing Firm to learn tips on when the time is right and how to choose the right firm. Download the free ebook and take a free marketing partner readiness assessment test today at Fuse32.com. Light the fuse. Bring the boom.
Here's a car care tip from the pros at Professional Automotive Service in Jefferson City. Make sure your cooling system has the proper antifreeze to water ratio to prevent corrosion and potential freezing. Some shops only provide a coolant system service that only drains the system and replaces the coolant. The pros at Professional Automotive can perform a complete coolant flush that ensures that all debris and accumulated waste is removed. Professional grade coolant chemicals are then used to scrub the system clean. Once the system is clean, additives and supplemental conditioners are added to protect and increase the life of your system. Fresh premium coolant is then refilled into the system. At Professional Automotive Service of Jefferson City, their number one priority is always making sure their customers are safe on the road. They service all makes and models of both foreign and domestic vehicles. All of their repairs come with one of the best warranties in the area, a two-year, 24,000-mile standard warranty. Trust the pros at Professional Automotive Service in Jefferson City or Hillside Automotive in O'Fallon. Find them on Facebook for more car care tips.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
We are joined now by Helias Crusaders head basketball coach Joe Rothweiler as we get set for the Grade 8 tournament on December the 28th, 29th, and 30th. Coach, before we talk about those three games in 3 days, you're off to a good start at 3-1 with a three-game winning streak.
Yeah, we are. We played a real early game before Thanksgiving and played a really good Republic team at their place and had a good first half and kind of struggled in the second half, a little bit undermanned. And once we got some football guys back in there, we started clicking on all, not all cylinders. We still got some ways to go, but we're starting to play some good basketball.
We saw you when you played South Iron. That was a heck of a basketball game, a game you won 62-60.
Yeah, that was a fun game. You know, the pace was very fast, and they came out on fire, and it looked like it was going to get away from us early. After that first quarter, but I think we needed a little bit of time to kind of settle down and get the nerves off, especially with a couple of new guys, just being off the football for about 2 days. So, we really settled down and started playing good basketball, throughout the rest of that game.
Good week for you. You won earlier in the week, beat Lift for Life 77-49, and then beat Columbia Battle by 5 in your first conference game 70-65.
It was a great week. We all around we had good practices. We played very well on Tuesday night against a team that we worried about. You know, they were very athletic coming in from St. Louis, and I just played Cardinal Ritter to a close game a few nights before that. We just came out and you know really locked in defensively and shot the ball really well and led to a good result. And then any conference win, you know, first time we've been in a conference for many years at Hawaii, and so it was kind of new to us, and it was good to go in and get that first
led by three, I believe, after one. Had a real good second quarter in that game against the Spartans, didn't you?
We did, yeah. Yeah, we definitely followed the game plan in that second quarter, and I thought on the defensive end, we gave them some trouble, and it led it to getting out and getting some easy baskets in transition, and that's where we built that lead up to I believe, 14 at halftime. And then second half, you know, they made some adjustments, and they're a good basketball team and really athletic. And second half, I think their main adjustment was to be more physical and go after the offensive boards. And we really struggled to keep them off the glass, which allowed them to creep back into the game a little bit.
You were 8 of 19 from the arc on Thursday night. Were you pleased with that?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to get a few more attempts than that up. We had some good 3-point shooters, and I think they're averaging around 10 threes a game coming in, and usually we'll take somewhere around 25 threes. So, their scouting report was trying to get us off the 3-point line, and it worked at times. But when we moved the ball well, we were able to get clean looks.
Got a good backcourt effort as far as scoring was concerned in that ball game against Battle. I believe Desmond White had 27 points. Malcolm Davis chipped in with 20.
Yeah, that, both those guys played extremely well, and they kind of had to make up for a night where a couple other guys just couldn't really get it going on the offensive end, but still produced a lot on the defensive end. And Desmond, he's got comfortable. He struggled a little bit at Republic and got into foul trouble, and from that point forward, he's kind of settled in, and he can score the basketball, and he can do a lot of good things on the basketball court. And we've seen Malcolm the last couple of years be able to contribute on the offensive end, and he had a good night as well.
Well, how about the minutes you're getting off the bench from Trey Bexton?
Yeah, he's you know, we didn't know that coming into the season. He's a sophomore, and he played mostly freshman last year, I believe, and I don't think we even moved him up to the JV at all last year. So, it was a weird summer, so we didn't get the typical summer evaluation that we usually get because of COVID concerns, and we didn't play very many games. And but when he stepped into the practice after football season was over, he hit the floor running, and he earned those minutes.
All right, Monday, December the 28th, you will open up against the Blair Oaks Falcons. How about a scouting report on the Falcons? They've got Luke Northweather inside.
Oh, yeah, we got a handful for sure. This is one of the smaller teams we've had. We have some longer guards, but we just don't have that big guy in the middle. You know, Dame Johnson does an excellent job for us, and he can play so many roles for us, but he's still an undersized five man when you look at our schedule, and most nights we're going to go in and be the smaller team when it comes to height on the floor. And Eric Northweather, he's a very good player, and I think he had 40 points at Rock Ridge last night,
mm-hmm.
from what I saw. So, we're gonna have to lock in. We got some practice to get ready for him, but we're gonna have to try to limit his good look at the basket and try to keep him off the board if we're gonna have any success in that game.
All right, on Tuesday, you will take on Father Tolton, and this has been a great rivalry between these two schools in a short period of time.
It is, yeah, it is. It's a big rivalry. It always seems to be a close game for the most part, except for last year. They got a pretty good one time, but, they're another very good basketball team with a whole lot of height. So, really puts us at a disadvantage, but, I think we can do some things to offset that disadvantage when it comes to height, and maybe spread them out a little bit and maybe speed them up a little bit. But I think it'll be a great basketball game.
Yeah, then on Wednesday you have the Jefferson City Jays, and that's always a great series.
It is, yeah. Yeah, I mean, three times we played them last year, so now we dropped one of the regular season games with them, so we only have that one regular season. And, it's always, most years it's the toss-up whether we'll see them multiple times by meeting up with them in the holiday tournament. But since it's a round robin, we know we're going to face off against them, and we know it's going to be another key game in that rivalry.
We talked about this with Coach Phillips just a few moments ago. When you play in a tournament, you don't know till after you play your game and the other teams play as to who you will meet on Tuesday, who you will meet on Wednesday. Here it's all laid out for you. You got Monday against Blair Oaks, Tuesday against Father Tolton. Jefferson City against Hawaii. Does that change how you prepare for this tournament?
I mean, yeah, it does, because you know what game films you need to watch, and you can maybe set up a little bit of a scouting report ahead of time versus, you know, staying up late the night after a game and trying to prepare for that game the next day because you didn't know exactly who you're going to play against. You know, we know now, and they're all local teams, so we get plenty of chances to see them, to see all the opponents that are in the tournament. So it definitely changes a little bit.
Coach, thanks for the visit. We'll see you on the 28th at the Fleming Fieldhouse.
All right. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
All right, Hawaii Crusaders head basketball coach Joe Rothweiler. Once again, here's your schedule as far as the Grade 8 is concerned. On Monday, December the 28th, 2:30, Hawaii meets Blair Oaks at 7:30. The Jays take on Father Tolton. On Tuesday, December the 29th, at 2:30, Hawaii meets Father Tolton. The Jays meet Blair Oaks at 7:30. Then on Wednesday the 30th, 2:30, Blair Oaks against Father Tolton. 7:30, the Jays against Hawaii. We'll see you next week on the Coaches Show.
News Radio 950, KWOS, and on FM at 104.5, KWOS Jefferson City, K283CL.